You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we are back here. It is another Purple Friday episode of the show. And we have a lot to talk about today, as we have had pretty much throughout this entire week. The Ravens shocking the world, shocking the Ravens flock, shocking a lot of people with a visit that they had on Thursday, and that is a running back, not an edge rusher, not a tight end, an offensive lineman. They've had a lot of offensive linemen sign over the last couple of weeks here, but they brought in a running back. So we'll talk about that running back here in the first segment. What it means, if the possibility of running back being signed is actually pretty high, is it pretty low? So we'll get into all that here in this first segment. Then in the second and third segments, I do want to talk a bit about what coaches and players had to say to the Baltimore media on Tuesday after that open practice, the final open practice of OTAs before mandatory minicamp, and just getting into what these players say. I know that we've done this for a couple weeks, really, since OTA started, but I think it's important to hear what these players say. You know, we can speculate, and we can do a lot of stuff here on this show, and a lot of other people can too, but I think it's important to actually see what they're saying, to hear what they're saying, and analyze it here. So, in the second and third segments, we'll get into players and coaches, but primarily just John Harbaugh for the coach situation there. So, let's jump right in, but before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We're there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. For any Ravens news, analysis, updates, historical perspectives, free agent perspectives, and in-game tweets as well as much, much more. So with all that being said, we're going to dive right into it here, starting off with the surprise visit. I don't think a lot of people were anticipating this, especially the position that this player played, and I did say it in the intro, it was a running back, Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley was the player the Ravens brought in for a visit. Now, I'll preface this and I'll start off this segment by saying that there was no deal agreed to yesterday. Todd Gurley went to Baltimore, had his visit, apparently had a very good conversation, according to Josina Anderson, but she reported that Gurley left Baltimore without a deal. And, you know, honestly, that's to be expected. It was a shock that the Ravens ended up bringing in a running back. The Ravens have three good running backs already on their roster in J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and Justice Hill. Adding a fourth to that mix, we've talked about roster depth and just how deep this team is already on this show before. And I think that, you know, keeping four running backs, we've talked about it a bit with Tyson Williams being that fourth running back. Can the Ravens do it? Can they not? I don't really see them doing it. So if Gurley was signed, if Gurley comes back to Baltimore and signs a deal, I don't see the Ravens keeping both him and Justice Hill. Obviously, Dobbins and Edwards are locks. There's no question about that. But it's between Gurley and Hill, in my opinion. But the Ravens have come out and they've been confident. They like their guys. So, I mean, it's good to have depth, right? You can never have enough of it. But the whole thing of bringing in Gurley was, I think, interesting because of the fact that he is a player who still has a ton of talent, right? He is only 26 years old. The thing with Gurley is he has arthritic knees, really, really bad knees, and it has affected his play. It's affected his availability. He spent time with the St. Louis and Los Angeles Rams. He spent time with the team in both cities and the Atlanta Falcons. He's from Baltimore. He actually was born in Baltimore. He's a Ravens fan and also an Orioles fan too. He grew up in North Carolina, but he is still from Baltimore, and he'd give the Ravens plenty of experience. The Ravens running back room right now is relatively young, and Gurley being 26 isn't this, you know, age-wise veteran or anything, but he's been in a Super Bowl. He's played in a Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams. He won the 2015 Offensive Rookie of the Year, 2017 Offensive Player of the Year. He's a three-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro. He has the resume. He's 6'1", 224 pounds. Has rushed 1,460 times for 6,082 yards and 67 scores throughout his six-year career. Also was a bit of a threat out of the backfield as well. 243 catches for 2,254 yards and 12 touchdowns. So again, he has the stats, he has the accolades to be on an NFL team right now. He visited with the Detroit Lions recently. But I think what Gurley is looking for, and Josina Anderson reported this according to one of her sources, is the best deal, the best offer, the most money. And if that's the situation, if that's truly what Gurley is looking for, and look, I don't blame him, whether he's looking for a chance to win, chance at the most money, whatever it may be, that's up to the player. I don't see him signing with the Ravens. And again, that's not a slight to Gurley. I'm not saying that at all. But with the money the Ravens have, the Ravens right now, they actually made a bit of money with re-signing Gus Edwards and extending him. They made, I think it was just a couple $100,000, but I think it pushed them to just under $11 million in cap space. They want to use that cap space, in my opinion, at least I would want to use that cap space for needs, right? Edge rusher. I talked about tight end, and the offensive line is pretty beefed up right now in terms of depth, so maybe not that position, but maybe another defensive lineman. Those are the positions that I would rather spend that money on, if anything. But I think I've preached on this show a lot about the fact that the Ravens, again, they are pretty set in terms of most positions. They have a lot of depth at most positions. So bringing in another running back to that fold would give them some options, but does it give them enough flexibility with the rest of their roster? Could the Ravens really part with a Justice Hill if they do end up signing Gurley? Is Gurley truly what most would call a camp body, or is he seriously going to be competing for a spot on the roster? I think that's another question that a lot of people would have to answer. I think that if Gurley is looking for a chance to win, Baltimore is his best bet, especially this late in the offseason. Baltimore has expressed interest. But I think another interesting tidbit, and Matthew Stevens actually brought this up, is the fact that much like we saw with Dez Bryant last offseason, they brought him in for a workout, right? The Ravens could just be looking now to end up just making that list of players of if there is an injury at the running back position, they could bring in Gurley if he's not signed elsewhere and look at him as an option if, let's say, Edwards or Dobbins goes down, and hopefully they don't, but that could be an option that I could see is a really good one, especially if the Ravens are looking to have a lot of depth early and often. If the Ravens are looking to build that depth, it could be a good investment to make in a Todd Gurley type player to bring him in, say, hey, look, we really like what you're doing here, we like your game, but we just don't have enough room right now, so let's just, you know, get familiar with each other, have a really good meeting here, but we're going to call you if an injury happens, if we're not getting production, and then we can work from there. Now, obviously, Gurley's not going to, you know, sit around and wait for the Ravens unless he really feels that opportunity is right for him and he feels there's a good chance of him signing there eventually. I mean, he could go and sign with the team right now or a couple weeks from now, and that will give him an opportunity to play football, try to make a 53-man roster. But at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt to bring these guys in. You know, it's not necessarily costing them any money off their salary cap or anything like that. And if a player really impresses, then hey, you know, you can either get on the same page with them about what to expect or when a deal could come, or maybe just the deal's not coming at all. Or they can sign them and do a bunch of other things like that, you know, get them on the radar, which is really important, especially for down the road, because the Ravens will probably have to make some additions somewhere for the regular season, during the regular season, whether it's early, middle, late, because of injuries or some other, you know, need at a position. So Gurley's visit ended without a deal in Baltimore, but there might be potential for him to sign with the Ravens later in the season if there is an injury, or if everything goes right and the Ravens really like what he brought to the table and they liked everything during his visit, they could bring him back and sign him and have him compete for a 53-man roster spot. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be talking about some players and what they had to say to the Baltimore media on Tuesday, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we are back with our second segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostrich, your host, still hanging out with you here. And here in this second segment, we're going to start to dive into what some players and coaches had to say to the Baltimore media on Tuesday after that open practice. And we're going to start off here with John Harbaugh, the head coach, and Gus Edwards, a really good running back for the team. So we're going to start with John Harbaugh here, and he went into detail about the signing of tackle Juwan James. And it's kind of interesting, James's whole situation, of course, with being released because he got injured working out away from the team facility, Denver, because of the rule where if you're working out away from a facility, a team can cut you and void your entire salary. He ends up filing a grievance and ends up signing with the Ravens for, I believe it was $500,000 for 2021, and then just around a $3 million cap hit for his second season. That's a really good deal, especially for somebody who signed such a big contract with the Broncos and who was one of the better tackles in the NFL. So John Harbaugh about Juwan James said, quote, "I think it's a great signing. I'm just very, very pleased to have him. He's a highly decorated player. He sat out 1 year, obviously. He had the injury before and now another injury, so it's a tough set of circumstances for him. But from what I understand, he's very determined to get himself healthy again and get back to playing at the highest level. That injury there, the Achilles injury, is one that there could be a possibility he could be back this year, even November or December, maybe. So that's not something I wouldn't say we're counting on that, but it's certainly something that you know is possible. I mean, Cyril Suggs had the same kind of an injury, same kind of timing, and got back in November of that year, as I recall. So we'll just see what happens. But it's always good to add another good player who's a really good person and a hardworking guy. We're happy to have him." End quote. And so, yeah, it seems like Juwan James just checks all the boxes of a Baltimore Raven. Obviously, as Harbaugh mentioned, the injuries, tough set of circumstances, tough situation for him. But again, this is a guy who I think if he can come back fully healthy, whether it is later this year or whether it is next year, I'd anticipate him coming back next year. I wouldn't count on him coming back in 2021. And the Ravens don't necessarily need him unless there is just another plethora of injuries to the offensive line. But if he can be even 75%, 80% of the player that he once was, you know, we'll stay with the Miami Dolphins because obviously his Denver Broncos career didn't really go as planned. It's something where the Ravens get that great value, they get a high level of play, and they get someone who's determined and obviously, you know, doesn't owe the city anything, doesn't owe the team anything, but is, I think, grateful for his opportunity and might want to stick around for a little bit longer. So I think this is a win-win situation. I mean, look, the worst case scenario here is the Ravens lose around $3 million. You know, they lose $500,000 in year one, and then I think $3.5 million in year two. That's not a bad price to pay for a potential high-reward gamble like Juwan James. So I'm excited to see what he ends up bringing to the table, but I'd anticipate it being in 2022. Next, John Harbaugh was asked about Rashad Bateman because he was not out there on the day that John Harbaugh took these questions. And so he was asked if there are any injury concerns with him or if there's anything going on. And he said, quote, "Yes, there are guys dealing with things. He had some tenderness and some tightness from all the running he's been doing. Marquise Brown, the same thing. He's had some muscle type issues. Those guys are going through that. We've had other guys, especially the receivers and the DBs. They do a lot of running, so that comes up a little bit in this heat," end quote. And so, yeah, you don't want to risk those type of things. I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago when Rashad Bateman was held out of practice, and a lot of people went into, not an uproar, but it was a lot of panic. Like, oh my God, the injury gods are already striking down the Baltimore Ravens. That's not what it is. They're being cautious. They're being proactive about, you know, their guys are coming to them and saying, hey, you know, I'm feeling a little tightness here. I'm not feeling great here. Instead of saying, you know what, go out there, just test it, see how it feels. They're saying, all right, we're going to dial things back a little bit, get you healthy for when we actually need you and not risk anything else. So again, I think it's the right thing to do, especially with these minor things, these minor, I wouldn't even call them injuries, just tightness that could potentially grow into something bigger if not treated properly, if not taken care of properly. So I think it's a good thing that the Ravens are holding those guys out until they're ready. And Rashad Bateman was on the field yesterday. So, you know, progress already there. Another thing that John Harbaugh was asked was about J.K. Dobbins and him from a pass-catching perspective. And J.K. Dobbins, he has been the subject of a lot of questions because obviously did not have the strongest year as a pass catcher in 2020 for the Ravens. But I think at Ohio State he was able to prove that he could do it. So when asked about that, John Harbaugh said, quote, "He's made strides. It's been one of the main points of emphasis to involve our running backs in the passing game more going forward here in this offseason. J.K. Dobbins is obviously going to be a focal point of that, and of course Justice Hill and Gus Edwards does what he does in the passing game. I think J.K. and Justice specifically, that's what they should be really good at. That should be a big part of their toolkit, so they've both done a great job. You mentioned J.K., he had some catches today out there. So yes, that's something we want to emphasize and continue to improve at." And so yeah, the Ravens having pass-catching threats out of the backfield just opens up this offense even more because you have to bring a linebacker or a safety down to account for them, and not all teams do that. You know, they kind of let the running back roam out of the backfield. If a team is playing zone, you know, they kind of shade somebody that way. If they're playing man, sometimes they leave the running back, and, you know, they'll send a blitz or they'll do something else. So With the Ravens and with their running game, it already forces teams to play up in the box a little bit, to kind of stack it. And when they're running play action with these pass catching backs, you know, and you know, it's not like J.K. Dobbins or Justin Hill is going to turn into, you know, the best pass catching back on earth overnight. But if they can just be serviceable at it, and I think they can, I think Justin Hill's already shown he can do it. I think J.K. Dobbins also has already shown he can do it, and Gus Edwards even has shown he can do it as well. They have to account for another player on the football field. They have to account for that threat. They can run screens with their running backs. They can run outs with their running backs. They can put guys out wide. It opens up the offense so much more, especially with what the Ravens already have. And look, you know, from the pictures and the videos that the Ravens are posting on social media, you can see that J.K. Dobbins has made strides in the passing game from a pass-catching perspective. So something I'm really excited to see is J.K. Dobbins and what he is able to bring from that perspective in 2021. Next here, talking about running back Gus Edwards, he was congratulated on his contract extension, and he ended up talking about his journey, and Jameson Hensley from ESPN said that he saw that he had a picture of the house that Gus Edwards lived in Liberia in Africa, and asked him if he just kind of contemplates the journey that it's taken for Edwards to get to this point, and he said, quote, "I was just grateful for yesterday. What's crazy is that my father is actually in Liberia right now, and he just happened to be over there when I called him. I called him and I was like, I'm getting ready to sign, and he happened to be at the house. He was like, I'm at the house right now. Everybody remembers me. We lived there like 20-something years ago, and everybody remembers him. God is good. It was just fantastic just seeing everything come together. It's been a blessing," end quote. And look, there's no better person for this to happen to than Gus Edwards. Such a hard worker coming out of Rutgers undrafted, and really had to work his way up to the Ravens roster. He was someone who was actually called up from the practice squad and really put on a show during that 2018 season. He and Lamar Jackson kind of came in at the same time. The Ravens were dealing with a bunch of injury and just issues in general with their running back position. Alex Collins, they gave a chance to Lance Turner. Kenneth Dixon was injured as well. And then Gus Edwards comes up from the practice squad, averages over 5 yards a carry, just bursts onto the scene, and ends up getting an opportunity in 2019. He ends up doing really well with that. In 2020, same thing. But it's not just like he was doing it and kind of staying the same player. He was improving each and every offseason. When he entered the league, he was a very north-south runner, punishing opponents, getting downhill, rarely losing yards for every carry he had. But you saw in 2019 the ascension of being able to cut, being able to run east to west, and being able to elude defenders, take better angles, and do a lot of things better than he did in his rookie season. And then in 2020, you saw even more of a jump with his pass-catching ability, the ability to do a bunch of different things. So he's done such a good job. He's worked so hard. And I'm just so happy for him that he was able to get this extension and he's able to stay in a place that he wants to be. And when he is able to do what he does best, and I think that is still be a north-south runner, he's a beast at it, but it's the other things he's added to his game that make him so well-rounded and make him so hard to game plan for. Another thing that Edwards was asked about his contract was the whole process of it all. He was a restricted free agent, and the Ravens obviously gave him a second round tender, and he was asked by Jeff Strebick of The Athletic just how long did it take to come together, and everything about his reaction. He was asked about his reaction when things got pushed across the goal line, as Rebick put it, and he said, quote, "Well, I just knew from the get that I wanted to be in Baltimore. I feel like I have a lot of unfinished business here. I'm comfortable here, I'm happy here, and it works for me. So I was just hoping to stay, you know what I mean? In one way or another, I was hoping to stay, and then we were able to work out a multi-year contract, and how great has that been? I'm just blessed. Not too many guys get to be in the position I'm in coming from a rookie free agent," end quote. And so, yeah, this is what we talked about back a few days ago when I was talking about the Ravens culture. And I said, you know, Edwards did say that he wanted to be in Baltimore and he wanted to stay in Baltimore. And I think that speaks a lot to their culture. But just the fact that he is already comfortable in Baltimore, he knows the playbook and he has his teammates that he knows, the coaches and everything. The Ravens have set Edwards up to be successful. He has taken that opportunity and ran with it, so credit to him for doing that, because easily the Ravens could have set him up and he just, you know, maybe he wouldn't have been successful and that would have been that. But Edwards has worked hard to get to the point he is at today. And just hearing that he is happy in Baltimore makes me happy, because it just, again, proves that the Ravens have built something special, and players like Edwards and also Mark Andrews, who we'll talk about later, just want to be a part of it. And that's just something that I think is amazing for this team. And finally, talking a bit about the on-field work for Gus Edwards, they were talking about J.K. Dobbins during this media session, and he was asked about forming one of the league's top tandems with Dobbins and how he thinks the pairing looks moving forward of himself and Dobbins. And he says, quote, "I think we're dangerous. You get us going, we build off each other. We like to see each other go out there and make plays. When J.K. Dobbins makes a big play, it motivates me, it motivates Justice Hill, and we're just going to keep building off of each other," end quote. And so, yeah, this is a big part of the Ravens' scheme, the Ravens' offense. It's the running game. The Ravens are a run-first team. Just because they added all these weapons in the offseason doesn't necessarily mean that they're all of a sudden going to throw 50 times a game. In fact, it does not mean that whatsoever. It means that they can open up their offense with players like Edwards and Dobbins because of the weapons that they have added. So, with this whole tandem thing, a lot of people have argued and debated about it. Is J.K. Dobbins going to be the number one back? Is Gus Edwards going to be the number one back? Who's going to get more carries? Who's going to get the bulk of the workload? I don't think this is a bulk situation. I think the two are going to be, like the question said, in a tandem. They have formed one of the top tandems in the league. There is a reason that the Ravens have been so successful. They're not running somebody into the ground. They're having fresh legs out there. They're making sure that their players are well rested. And that, in turn, lets players like Edwards and Dobbins utilize their skills a lot better than if they got 25, 30, 35 carries a game. If they get 10, 15, 20 carries a game, each of them, that helps a lot more. And, you know, maybe J.K. Dobbins gets a tiny bit more carries than Edwards. Maybe it's vice versa. But the two of them, I think, are going to have a great season, both of them, and even throwing Justice Hill in there as well. And do we see Todd Gurley? Who knows? But I think the running back room for the Ravens is going to be phenomenal in 2021, and that includes a newly signed Gus Edwards. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we're going to be taking a look at what Patrick Queen and Mark Andrews had to say to the Baltimore media on Tuesday. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, coconut almond, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BoltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BoltBar.com. And we return here with our final segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. And now we're going to dive into what linebacker Patrick Queen and tight end Mark Andrews had to say to the Baltimore media on Tuesday after the final open practice of OTA. So let's start off here with Patrick Queen, and he was asked about what it was like being out there for pretty much a normal spring practice, and a lot of this stems from the fact that Patrick Queen did not have a whole spring routine in the NFL during his rookie season because of the coronavirus pandemic, and he was asked, how much do you think that it will help him in his progression in his second season? And he said, quote, "It's way different because coming out of college, you've got spring, so you always get to practice and stuff. And then coming into last year, I didn't get the springtime, couldn't train really anywhere, so I came into the season out of shape. This year is a whole lot better. I get to train now, I get to see my teammates early, and get the communication down and stuff. It's only up from here, so it's a big key to be here right now," unquote. And so, yeah, this is big for Patrick Queen, and I think it's such an important piece to note that a lot of the rookies, in fact, all the rookies, had to go through some kind of, you know, lull period of just waiting, you know, sitting. And that was everybody in the NFL, too. But for rookies, it was especially hard because they couldn't get into the building. They couldn't be around their teammates. They couldn't be around their coaches, get the playbook down in person, work out in person. It was all stuff from home. And Patrick Queen, especially somebody who, you know, wanted to learn a lot, wanted to get better and all that, it was tough for him, and I'm sure plenty of other rookies across the NFL. But now, heading into his second year, he's able to get into the building. He's able to work out with his teammates. He's able to be around everybody in the organization. And that's huge, especially for a young player. So to be able to have that, I think, is going to be such a big deal for him. And now we get to see the ascension, right? There were times where he struggled immensely during the 2020 season. You know, week three is the one that comes to my mind where he was benched. Him and Malik Harrison both benched against the Kansas City Chiefs at home at M&T Bank Stadium. It was an up-and-down year for Patrick Queen. I'd say overall it was a solid year, a good year, but it wasn't, you know, spectacular because there were mistakes that he made. But now he can work through those, get into playing shape, and just have a lot better feel for the game entering the season, whereas last year I think it took a little bit for him to get into all of that. So I'm excited to see what he can do in year two. Secondly here, he was asked about Rob Ryan, his new inside linebackers coach, and everything that he brings to the table so far, and he said, quote, it's crazy. He's told me so many stories about when he was coaching and the guys he was coaching, and it just gives you a different perspective on life. He's a great guy, a great coach. He cares, but at the end of the day, he just wants to make us better. So that's what I take from him. That's the biggest key, is him just wanting us to be great and him just caring so much, like a real father. It's crazy that you find somebody like this at this level, and I'm just thankful for him to be here with us, end quote. And so, yeah, this just, again, kind of goes with the glowing reviews I've given the Ravens coaching hires, especially on the defensive side of the ball in 2021. They've done it on the offensive side too, but for Rob Ryan to be there with these young linebackers, Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison in particular, he has so much NFL experience. He's been the defensive coordinator for four NFL teams, and that is all such a huge deal. And I'm excited to see what the linebackers can do. You know, it's not just like a Patrick Queen thing with this. It's Harrison. It's LJ Fort. Maybe Otara Alaka. Maybe Kristen Welch. Chris Board as well. Chris Board, I think, is going to have a big jump during his 2021 year. So Rob Ryan is someone who has bounced around the league. You know, I don't know if he's gotten a fair shake, a fair reputation. It seems like he doesn't have the right reputation. It seems like guys are like, oh, he's washed up. He's not a good coach. But it doesn't seem that way. He seems to really connect with his players, and I think that's a huge thing, especially for young players. It can sometimes be hard to connect with younger players, and sometimes it's harder to connect with veterans too, but this is something where Ryan is going to be able to teach these guys so much of what he has seen, what he has heard, what he has picked up, what he's been taught across the league, to hopefully these young linebackers who will take it with them for years to come. Finally here, we're going to talk about Mark Andrews, the tight end, and what he had to say, and we'll start off here about his future. And he was asked about if he feels strongly that his future still remains in Baltimore. And he said, quote, I think for me, how I approach every offseason is I just try to get better and better. I try not to worry about the things that are not in my control. I love Baltimore. I love being here. I love playing here. I want to be here for the rest of my life, man. This is home for me. So that's where I'm at. I'm just going to, as a player, be the best player that I can be for this team. I know as a team that we will all have a certain goal. We all are moving in the same direction, and that's really all I'm worried about right now. You can't worry about too much of the outside noise and what happens with that. I'm just going to let my play speak for itself. Obviously, I love Baltimore. I love being here and would love to be here for my whole life. End quote. And this is just another glowing review by a player of the team, of the city. And I won't go too much in depth on it because I know we've talked about the culture a lot here on the show. But it's just a tribute not only to the organization, but to Andrews as well. I want to praise Mark Andrews here because, you know, obviously it's important to think about your future, and it's tempting also when you're a player to think about it, but it seems like he is, one, laser focused in on the Ravens, and hopefully that all works out with his future, but two, he's laser focused in on being the best version of himself on the field, helping the Ravens win football games, and says that, yeah, you know what, I'd love to be in Baltimore, but right now I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about being able to get on the field and help my team win football games and be the best player that he can be. And that is a great mindset to have, because people can look ahead to the money, right? With Mark Andrews and the year I think he's going to have, I mean, he's going to earn quite a lot of money, whether it's with the Ravens or another organization. I think it's going to be with the Ravens, but, you know, still, he has that ability to kind of look ahead to the future and be like, well, you know, even if I slip up a little bit, I'm still going to be making tons of money, so it doesn't matter. But no, he is focused in, he's ready to win football games, and Andrews is going to have a big year, in my opinion, in 2021. And finally here, the last thing we'll talk about with Mark Andrews is he was asked about if he tried anything different this offseason, and as he's gotten a little older, is he learning a little bit more about how to work smarter and working hard? And he said, quote, yes, that's a great question. Every offseason has been different. I think last year I learned a ton about really how to treat my body, and last year I came in great shape and all that. So this year I kind of just worked on that. So it's just being able to improve each and every year, knowing the things that you're good at and not good at, and trying to work those little things. But I've been running a ton. Obviously, routes are something that's very important to me, being able to run really good routes. In the offseason, I made an emphasis on that. I feel like I'm getting in and out of breaks really well. I feel light. I feel fast. So I'm excited to see what I can do, unquote. And hey, I'm excited to see what he can do too. But no, it's important that the little things are the things that are worked on, because everybody can say, all right, I need to get faster, I need to get stronger, I need to do this big thing. But it's sometimes just the little things, you know, the half seconds, the quarter seconds, the milliseconds that can make the biggest difference. Football is a game of inches, and that can be true on any given play. So if Mark Andrews can get out of a break, you know, half a second faster, a quarter of a second faster, that works to his benefit and really literally could be the difference between an incompletion or an interception or a first down or a touchdown. So all those different things combined, right? One little thing here, one little thing there, another one here. It all combines into one, making Mark Andrews much more of a well-rounded player. And he has done that, right? He has evolved his game. I know I talked about it on a show earlier this week about the fact that Mark Andrews coming into the league wasn't heralded as this great blocker, but now he's upped his game in that area so that teams don't view him as a liability in that aspect. So now, you know, he's learning as a veteran and being in the league for so long, I guess not so long, but he's been in the league for a couple years now, to the point where he can learn a bit every single offseason about, hey, this works for me. Hey, this doesn't work for me. Hey, I need to get better here. I'm already good here, so let's not work on that for now. Let's focus here. It's all about the mindset. It's all about being able to work on what you need to work on, what you feel like you need to work on. And I think Andrews, based off what he's saying here, has a great grasp on that and is getting a better grasp on it as time goes on. That's all that I have for you today. We're going to take a two-day break here on Locked On Ravens, but when we return on Monday, we'll be getting into more Baltimore Ravens talk. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.